chapter 5. Probably going to be there for a little bit. We were hoping to do kind of like a youth download and give you guys a little bit of what happened at camp and what happened in VBS if you guys hadn't been there, things that happened at the carnival. Thank you. I was looking for number 3. It's like, what happened in that middle time? For some of us who've been working all that stuff, I'm sure you guys, if you're there, it seems like a blur. It was like 3 weeks of just some like crazy youth stuff. Yeah, Christine's back there shaking her head. She's got PTSD. She's twitching. So, and that's okay. It's a great thing. I'll tell you what. Christine and I asked the same thing. I shared it before. When we got back from camp, we're like, how you doing? Doing okay. But like the first day back, we're like, what happened? Oh, I was fine all week. You know, I think a lot of it is just that we have, and I shared last week, we have a wonderful God who provides what we need in the moment, right? He provided what we needed to stay awake with those kids for 7 days and keep doing things, right? He can sustain Jonah and a whale for 3. He can keep us alive at camp for 7, right? In fairness, we weren't in an animal and underwater, but sometimes it can feel that way. But it was a blessed time, and thank you for your service, for your support, for you guys who were there. But we're going to plan on doing that on the 8th so more of the families can attend the baptisms. We have 2 planned for that day coming out of the ministry. So on August 8th, we'll plan to do stuff where we talk about and show the videos and pictures, stuff we did at the carnival, the kids at camp, and, of course, VBS. In the meantime, let's get into that verse, guys. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 5, we're going through the Beatitudes, and it says, now your Bible might have, I prefer this, how many of your Bibles say blessed are the gentle? How many of you guys say blessed are the meek? How many of y'all, what do you guys prefer, meek? Anybody else know that meek sounds? I think the reason they changed it, not everybody knows what meek is, right? And a lot of, I've been guilty of this before. I'll just start preaching, it's like, oh, let's preach on what meek is and isn't, and it's like, yeah, but that's not exactly the whole thing. That's part of it, right? Because if we look at that word, yeah, I'll define it a little bit. Yes, meekness is just much more than gentleness alone, right? If you're being gentle with somebody, you're being what they need at the time, right? How many of y'all know some people need a little bit of rough stuff sometimes, right? Sometimes God needs to whack me a little bit harder because I'm not listening. Amen? Yeah, maybe you guys don't know what it's like. Maybe I'm the only one who does that sometimes, but God, I think, sometimes needs to get attention. Will kind of give us a little whack and say, hey, pay attention. But he does that out of love, right? Because he knows exactly what we need, and is he willing to give it? Yes. He is absolutely willing to give us and bless us with what we need. And right here, blessed are the meek means blessed are the meek, which includes gentle, power withheld, courteous. Those desiring to love someone else, to bring about what is appropriate at the time, and not depend on their own strength to bring about their desired outcome. I think that's a lot to it, because when we look at this, there's a lot of things. You see, when we learn as kids the worldly ways, what do you think, guys, think? You think you learn when you're little that you just got to sit back and don't do nothing? Or do we as human beings want to grab and force and kind of take control of stuff, right? I've shared it before, and I know I'm quoting Vodi Bakum. He's a pastor, and he talks about little kids. And he says, dude, they're not little angels. They're vipers in diapers, right? You know, and he's beating it up. So, again, I'm stealing his jokes, but he brings the point. He says, God, why did you make them, you know, or why did you make them so cute? And so, well, so you wouldn't kill them, right? If any of you have ever been a first parent at that one time, I remember somebody saying that. He was a psychology professor, and he was a mean jerk. So when he said it, he says, you just wait till you have your first kid. You'll sit there and want to throw them out the window when they've been crying all night. I said, what a horrible man. How dare you? I never got that close, but I'll tell you, I understood what he meant. When you're just like, you've been screaming for hours. I don't know what to do with you. You know, you're sleeping on the floor next to him. You're like, can you sleep like this, sleep like this? You do everything, and you're like, I don't get it. And you start seeing that humanity in me creep up, and it's like, oh, I don't like that. You know, it's like, that's not nice. I don't like that who I'm seeing here, right? See, again, the reason is, he says, I made him so small and so cute so that you wouldn't kill him. You know why he made them so small? So they wouldn't kill us. I don't know about you guys. You ever seen that first temper tantrum? And it's like, shoot, if you were 200 pounds, I'd be a dead man. You know? So praise God he keeps them small like that. Although some of us don't grow up so well, too. You know, when they were looking at it, anybody, man, if you're a child of the 80s, anybody else remember He-Man was around? Maybe your kids did it. Oh, man, I loved He-Man. He-Man was awesome. You know how the idea for He-Man got started? Toy company. Guy was watching kids play, and he says, I want to find the inner need of people. I'll start with these kids. What do these kids need? And he watched little boys play. How do you think little boys played? They were rough. And they'd beat up stuff and they'd take it. They'd say, he'd even watch them grab Barbies and start beating up the other Barbies. And he said, I know what I got to do. I need to build a toy that is so ridiculously massive the kids will feel empowered. Be a He-Man, right? And so he made a toy and they looked at it. His company laughed and they said, dude, we figured out if this was an actual muscled human being, they would be over 600 pounds. And he said, I don't care. You make it. People will buy it. And sure enough, they did. Boy, they did, man. I tell you, I used to love that. And yeah, man, I used to get in trouble when the He-Man theme song came on there. I would like put on a blanket cape and I'd run around the house, normally knocking over my sister. I know, right? And she was like 2 at the time. We were close in age, so I just felt like we were peers. So I just like, get up, what's wrong? So it wasn't very nice, but that was my attitude. I wanted to be powerful. I wanted to have the strength in myself to take care of any problem at any moment. Because you guys know, if you watch He-Man, that there was always a problem, there's always a thing. But then all of a sudden, once you start hearing the music come on, right, the theme song, oh, it's on. He-Man's going to throw somebody through a wall. He's going to pick up something impossible. You just know that's the resolution. And so how many of us in life have just figured that out? I just got to apply all my strength, and I'm going to go throw this rock through this wall and take care of the problem. I'm going to sing my theme song, right? Any of y'all, anybody else ever listen to Superman theme song? Put your arm out the car window while you're driving. Da 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 da. Come on. I'm the only one. I don't do it anymore, but no, that was in my 20s, and I was with kids. So that was an excuse, but we all did it, and it was fun. We all had our arms out the window on both sides. It looked really weird, car driving with a bunch of arms sticking out, but we were flying for the moment. But it's that feeling of empowerment. I don't know about you guys. You hear the Superman theme come on. Maybe you guys can relate to me and feel that same way. But we look, and God gives us another picture of how to respond to our situations as opposed to He-Man or the Superman theme coming up. Because how many of y'all know? I know for me, I'm not Superman. I'm not He-Man. When the problem comes on there, I can't just turn on my theme music and beat down walls and take care of the bad guys. Sometimes God has given me the strength to deal with certain situations, and sometimes He makes me sit back and wait on Him and pray and depend on Him for everything. Even if it's my strength sometimes that He gives me, because we all know that comes from Him too, right? But also He gives us all these wonderful blessings. And we talk about the steps, right? We talked about blessed are those who are poor in spirit, right? Blessed are those who mourn. And we get up here to blessed are the meek. And you see, these are difficult steps to take. Anybody in your humanity likes being poor in spirit? You say to Master, you know, you want to hurt yourself, right? No one thinks that. It goes, that's not common human logic. We don't want to think like that. Blessed are those who mourn. That sounds ridiculous. But we understand what it's talking about is blessed are the poor in spirit who recognize their true condition before a holy God. The great news is God is not waiting to squash us. God is sitting there going, repent. Come to me. I will help you. He wants us. Being poor in spirit is good because I recognize my need. And then I can mourn over the sin of the world and my own sin. Right? We look at the things around us that break our hearts. And then God says, this is interesting, kind of a step. As we start to see now, because we can be poor in spirit on the inside. And we can say, well, no one needs to see that on the outside. I'll put up a good front. We can mourn on the inside. Anybody else been broken inside, but you still put that smile on? Maybe you do that every day. I think it's good to be transparent sometimes, but I agree. You guys know, sometimes I'm too transparent. And you say, hey, cover that up a little bit, man. Come on, pull it together. But sometimes there's that third step, and it says, blessed are those who are meek. That's one of the steps, guys, when other people, really start to see what's happening inside. Because meekness is not only an inward attitude and a response to God, but it's also how I begin to respond to my life situations and how I treat not just other people, but even God Himself, and how I respond outwardly to the things that come my way. I want you to think of these things, too, is that everything that we see displayed in here, sometimes we just want to pick one and say, I'm really good at this. How many of y'all know that Christians, we all need to kind of excel in all the Beatitudes? Everything He's saying, guys, when you look at those rewards that He's giving, they describe a believer in Jesus Christ. And so everything He's saying there, it's not a checklist that I got to check off. It's a statement of who I can be in Christ Jesus and a help me to get there. But in the same way, it's also a manifesto of what Christians are like. How many of y'all been watching The Chosen a little bit? Anybody who's watching that, they just finished season two, and at the very end he was describing, and this is, of course, it's not scripture, it's just Hollywood per se, but they're talking about Jesus, and he described it. I like the way he said it. He said, you can look at this beginning almost like a manifesto. It almost tells people how to find each other, how to find Christians, how to find me. It's like a step of walking here, and when they see people that are like this, you found my people. Because how many of y'all know, like back in Jesus' day and even after, and in other countries today, you can't just put church outside your building, right? Sometimes, man, you just have to start sparking little conversations in the marketplace, writing in with your foot in the sand, hoping that the other person's not going to shout, try to kill you, try to report you. How many know how easy it is to witness in some Muslim countries where it's illegal to proselytize? We don't know that, folks. Most of us don't. And so it's pretty easy for us to put our sign out there and say, come on in if you want. But how about other places where they can't be that open? Not so much as we can be, at least. But these characteristics show us Christians. And when we see them in other people, we can see, I see you're like Jesus. Because these characteristics, as odd as it may sound, they're not just mirrored in us, but they're mirrored because Jesus is like this too. So I want your first point to put in there. Mirrored meekness is displayed in Christ Jesus. You guys all know that Jesus is the perfect image of God, right? That's what the Word of God says. See, first God started off and he made man in his image, right? He says, male and female have I created them. Genesis 1:27. The second Adam, Jesus, though, is the perfect image, who never tasted sin, who never sinned himself. He only knew sin because of us, because he took it upon himself. You guys know what's kind of cool? When you look at the order of things, we've got creation, right? God makes everything. The fall. Man, we done messed up, right? But then we got redemption. God's bringing us back, and then recreation. I could be wrong on this, but I'm just thinking, what do you think is the first thing that God recreates? We know the heavens and the earth are coming, right? We know that he promises that he's going to roll the sky like a scroll. The earth, the heavens, everything is going to be remade. Anybody else looking forward to that day? Everybody I know, most of us, when we're aching and paining and groaning in our bodies, we say, God, give me the new body now. I want it. I need some healing here. Help me to get through today. I want something. Hear more. You know what the great thing, though, is that God promises us? What's the first thing that I see, at least in Scripture? And point me out. I could be wrong. Talk to me after. But that gets recreated. 2 Corinthians 5:17, guys. He says, if you're in Christ, you are a new creation. That means he does a work inside of you in the Spirit, by the Spirit, so that you can be made spiritually alive in Christ Jesus. First thing in recreation, guys, God, that ought to tell you something about God's priorities. The God who made all the stars, made the angels, called the heavens into being, made everything there was. What's he going to remake first? He goes, I'm going to start right inside of you. And I'm going to make you pure and new because I love you, because I want you. I'm going to make that. And then you know what? The rest of it comes later. I get my new body someday, but that ain't today unless you have a plan that I don't know about. And that's okay, right? We look forward to that. We long. All creation longs for that day. They say, hey, things are broken. Man, I got to go home today afterwards. I got to do some. Anybody else have some fun time working on cars? By the grace of God, he got us home last night. And today, I get to do... There you go, brother. Yeah, today, I got some parts that I get to... by the grace of God, I was able to buy the parts. Now, by the grace of God, I use the strength he's given me to install the parts. And so let's hope that goes well. But that's my afternoon, so let's hope we get to do that. But again, we all know what it's like to drive something broken and broken down, right? You're praying, oh, Lord, get me there. Man, we were praying last night. You know, we're like, Lord, I hear those sounds. I know what it is, but I can't do anything. I'm on Latrobe Road in the middle of nowhere with no tools. I'm like, Jesus, I would really like to make it home, but I know you know what I need. And so if what I need is breaking down, you know, he's good. Because the noises didn't get worse until we were about a half a mile from home. And I'm like, hey, Lord, if you break me down here, I'm pretty cool with that. I can walk. But I'd like to get to the driveway. You know what? He got me to the driveway. Yeah, right? And that's okay. It's a little thing. As far as I know what it is. But that's okay. God is good because he gives us, you know, opportunities, right? That was an opportunity to pray. That was an opportunity to draw close to God. If anything, I can look at it and say, God, thank you for reminding me that I need you. I need you every moment. I can do everything I could possibly do, but I still can't get by and not need you. I depend on you. Exactly. Yeah, keep the amens coming. That's okay, man. It's a code to encourage the preacher. But we all need that encouragement, guys, because we all know that we can't, anybody else know, you can't get by without God. I tell you guys, I mean, I'm preaching all out of order here this morning, but I'll tell you, I had a story right here because, you know, it's okay to share because he's not in here right now. No, Josiah, my little guy. Oh, my little guy. He's my biggest little guy. We were just talking the other day. I love how God works out those moments because I'm in the car and I'm driving him somewhere. I'm going to go shopping with he and Derek and I'm just looking at him and I see he's depressed. Could have been probably something I said. Me not acting in meekness like I ought to. And I don't mean to joke about it. I'm serious. It could have been a moment of anger. Hey, do this, do that. Yelling at five kids going back way. I'm going, let's get in the car. We're going down and I see him downtrodden. And I said, Joe, I don't know why you're sad. If it was me, you okay? He said, yeah, I'm all right. And I just said, you know, I see you hurting. God put a big burden on my heart to talk to him. And he just said, Joe, I can see you're hurting, but I want to talk to you. I said, I don't know if it's for me or anything at that time. Not that I did anything overtly I knew about, but I said, I don't know why you're hurting, but I hope you know God is always there to talk to about this. And it's not just like the counselor's in and you get to come in when the sign's up and you put in your nickel and you do your, you know, you do your thing and you walk away feeling better. God says he desires for us to be in prayer constantly. He says, talk to me and be there. And I said, you know how I get by most of my days? I said, usually it's because I'm on my face in the carpet because I have to pray for certain things because I start realizing I'm trying to do it on my strength and it's failing. And I've learned enough that I have to start and repeat and go back to God so many times saying, you know, I'm trying to do this. I'm not sure what you want. Would you please guide me in this today? Give me the strength that I need, but also the guidance. Tell me what I need to do, what I don't need to do. So I can get through today. So you can show me how to handle every situation that comes. And I said, even as an adult, if we're honest, I said, we find ourselves talking to God constantly and asking for his help constantly. I said, Joe, it sounds like you need to really come to God. And I said, why don't you? He said, I don't know. I just look at the problems, Dad, that I have, and I just think they're not that big compared to most people. I figure I don't need, and I don't know how many of you have ever said that, or maybe you've talked to someone else who said that and said, God, I don't need you right now. I'm doing great. Not that I don't need you, but it's another way. It's like, God, I'm fine. You've been so good to me. I'll come to you when it's really a problem, but for now, I'm okay. And that was his attitude. And I just said, Joe, I said, the scripture gives us another picture. I know from my own experience of trying to do it my whole life on my own, and it doesn't work. I mess it up so much that I can't even believe it. And it's God's grace that preserves me and keeps me anywhere and blesses me with anything. All I can say is that you need him. I said, the scripture says he's the one that made you. He's the one that sustains you. He's the one that gives you your being. You are breathing now because God wants you to breathe. And he's not a cosmic tyrant. He's a good God of love who is sovereign over all things. And if you're breathing, it's because he wants you to be here. You've got a God that cares about you more than you realize. He's thinking about you when you're not. You need to come to him because when you think you've got it and you're doing it, that you're doing all the work, do you understand that God is holding you up the entire time and helping you? It's kind of like, you guys remember Footprints, that poem? Now, I didn't go into Footprints at that time. But check this out. We end up pulling up to the parking lot, and I'm sure people are already wondering because they see a dad waving his hands. Not angrily, I hope they weren't confused, but I'm passionate talking to my son in the car, and he's just next to me. And I said, we're already here. People think I'm weird. Let's just get out of the car and let's walk into the store. I don't want to keep preaching at you. You've been listening to me for 20 minutes. I just want to tell you how much God loves you, how much he is here and waiting to talk to you, and he wants you to realize you think you're carrying yourself. He's carrying us. You need to know that. So we get out. I say, okay, let's go. We pass an elderly gentleman walking the opposite way. Then he stops and looks around and says, oh, I forgot something. Just to himself, you know. And he goes to the car. We go over to pull the carts out. And we're looking at stuff. And the guy comes back and says, sir, what religion are you? What do you believe? I said, we're Christians. He goes, that's great. So am I. He said, He said, I just got to tell you something. I got a weird thing. Can I give your son a gift? And I said, well, sure, that sounds okay. And he looks at Josiah. This guy doesn't know what we've been talking about. He just knows this is the Lord. He says, you see this ring on here? I just got this ring. It's really nice. But you know what? I think I don't need this other one over here. And he pulls off a ring. And he says, I wonder if this will fit you. And so this very nice man in his mid-80s takes a ring off his finger, a silver ring, and puts it on Josiah's finger, and it's a perfect fit. And then he says, do you know what this ring means? Joe says, no. He says, there's a cross on it, and all around it, there's footprints. He says, son, I want to tell you that all through your life, you were going to have moments when you think that you were the one who was getting you through the sand. He said, do you know what this means? And Joe knows it. He goes, I've heard that before. He says, I want you to know every time you thought you were carrying yourself, it was Jesus who was carrying you. He says, do you know Jesus? He goes, yes, I do. He said, don't forget that he's carrying you. And then that man gave us that ring and he walked away. Guys, that's a loving God. And I said, Joe, people may tell you this is coincidence, but I tell you, the Holy Spirit of God told me I had to tell you this for 20 minutes. And I felt like I couldn't even stop. But then when I stopped, guess what? He made someone else forget their wallet and come over to talk to you and tell you the exact same thing I've been telling you for 20 minutes. That is not coincidence. That's not luck. That's the Spirit of God working through his children in the world to show you how much he loves you. That is the love of God that we have in our Lord. And it's real. It's not just for one day when things are better. It's for now. This is the kind of love that God has for us. I say that because the opposite of meekness, it sounds weird, but it's actually when we step outside of ourselves and we say, I've got this, God. I'm doing this on my strength. I can take care of this. Think about Jesus, guys. I might get to the points today, I don't know. But think about Jesus, how he displayed his meekness. Because Jesus was tempted by Satan, right? We know in the Synoptic Gospels, we see the temptation of Christ. And Satan comes and says, hey, if you're the Son of God, make these stones into bread. Can anybody tell me what's wrong with turning rocks into donuts or pretzels or anything? Does anybody know overtly sinful, right? If I could do it, you know I would be. I'd be the donut king, you guys. I'd have donuts every day for Sunday. It'd be great. Where'd you get those? I had some gravel on the driveway. I brought it in. It would be easy. It'd be great. And Jesus says, what? It's right in his saying right there. He says, man doesn't live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. Guys, Jesus is saying at that moment, because what did he say? He goes, everything I do, everything I say, where did it come from? He says, that's right, you know it. He says, everything I've said, everything I do, it comes from the Father. I don't say anything unless the Father tells me to say it. I only do what I see the Father doing. He says, basically, everything you see me doing, this is God doing it. And it was. He says, here I am, and I'm showing you what God is like. And Satan is talking to Jesus, I think maybe even partially in his deity and his humanity. Not Satan's, but Jesus is saying, I know you can make those stones into bread. Go ahead. You're hungry. In your humanity, you're feeling it. You know why Jesus didn't do it? Because that wasn't the Father's will at that time. He says, I'm depending on the Father for my needs. Yeah, I could make that, and I could do whatever I wanted. But I'm going to submit myself now to the Father for when it's time to eat. He says, I'm not depending on my own strength for this. I'm going to wait till it's time. That's when it's okay to eat. And he takes him again, right, to the pinnacle of the temple. Jump off! It says in his word that his angels will be charged concerning you so that you won't even strike a foot against a stone. He says, don't put your Lord, the Lord your God, to the test. Go ahead. Push God a little bit. If you're going to depend on God's strength, let's let the Father take care of this one. You don't make it into bread. You just jump so he has to. You guys all know that's not a good way to work with God, right? How many of you like me have maybe made God work like that? God, I need a little bit of attention right now. I'm just going to keep pushing this way, but I know you're there, and maybe if I push hard enough, you'll come and save me from this or that. That's not a good way to live with God. That's not a good relationship to live with anybody. But we have Jesus who mirrored that perfect meekness, who, as Philippians chapter 2 says, being in the very form of God, he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. Even though it was his, he says, I'm not going to take hold of that right. I'm going to do what is needed right now. How many of y'all know that the plan of salvation was written a lot longer before we ever read it? How many of y'all, you're happy? I was talking to a brother the other day, and it just blew his mind. Anybody of y'all ever try to imagine eternity? We look at things at how big they are, and we look at God, and he's like, I just don't understand how God, you know, didn't have a beginning. And I was like, yeah, me neither. You know, hey, he's the only thing that I can think of that has no beginning, and he has no end. And he's just like, well, that just can't be possible. I mean, everything has a beginning, right? And I said, well, if you go on that logical argument, well, if God had a beginning, then how did he begin? And who began him? I said, even the Greek scholars of old look back and says, we know we can keep this cycle forever, but there has to be a start. There has to be a prime mover. There has to be one who has done that. And the scriptures say that is Yahweh. He says, I am the prime mover. I am eternal, self-existent. I depend on no one else and nothing else for existence. My world, my universe, I made it. And sometimes we forget that the God who says, I am eternal, right? And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? Book of Hebrews, right? We quote it. So we know that God is unchanging. He says, guys, I'm the beginning and the end, the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last. We can't even grasp. You know, as far as we understand, time is just a product of creation. God says, I was God before there was time, folks. Can we get our minds around how big God is? But then when it comes to practicing it and living it, am I meek enough to do what Jesus did and to place my trust in God? Am I really going to trust him, the creator of all things, the lover of all people, for my sake? The one who chose me from before the foundations of the world. The one whose good grace is extending even to people who hate him today. Am I really going to trust him for everything? Or am I going to reach out in my own strength, which is so fancy and great, and in my he-manness, arm out the window, and say, I've got this, don't worry about it. I can't and I shouldn't. He displayed his meekness even to people, not just his own father. How many people came up to Jesus? Think about it, his crucifixion, which the Lord perfectly predicted and reflected and told us about it hundreds of years before through the prophet King David, and said, your hands and feet are pierced, surrounded by dogs. They cast lots for my clothing. We see the crucifixion done, but yet what is Jesus' response? Remember when Peter was trying to be, right, protective. He's thinking he's doing a good thing, right? When the men come to arrest Jesus, Peter comes over, not going to hit you, but Peter comes over, right, and starts swinging. You know, if it were modern day, Peter would have drawn and start firing on these guys. And Jesus says, hey, put your six-shooter away, Pete. This is supposed to happen. Well, what he said was, he goes, hey, don't you know if you live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword? He goes, don't you understand? If I wanted, I could call legion of angels just to show up here and be my bodyguards. You don't get it. This is supposed to happen. He had the power to do whatever he wanted, right? Pontius Pilate, what did he say? He says, you wouldn't have this power if it weren't given to you from above already. Because this is really the hand of God at work. You may think it's you. It's not. This is the plan. Jesus was perfectly capable of doing about whatever he darn wanted, but he chose to respond in meekness and gentleness and humility, even to us. When people mocked him, when people were driving the nails in his hands, what did he say to the Father? Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That's meekness, folks. That's meekness for our benefit, for our grace. Not that you're going to need it, but if you want to, go ahead and put in your second blank there. Mirrored meekness lived unto God. And we've been talking about that right now, so forgive me. I know I'm jumping around. Point three is mirrored meekness lived unto humanity. We're talking about how Jesus did that in both directions. But I've already preached myself out of a service and out of time. There you go. But the meekness of Christ is our goal. I can look at a lot of other biblical figures, and they were meek. Moses was said to be the meekest man, most humble. But we all know that Christ topped them all. Let me ask you one of the hardest things in our own lives. When we're poor in spirit and we mourn over our sin and we come to God and we begin to understand what it means to be meek, it's not to jump and take every revenge. It's to treat people in the spirit of Christ. Sometimes we struggle with just being honest with ourselves about it. How many of y'all know we struggle when other people come at us? Just a little bit. If I remind ourselves, if I remind myself about being meek, going, well, you know, you're a sinner and you got to confess this and that. I've gotten pretty used to that. I can do that. How many of y'all know it's harder when one of you all comes up to me and says, Pastor Ryan, you're sinning? Anybody ever have that wonderful, wonderful conversation when someone comes up to you and says, you're in sin, you need to repent? I know I need it. I can tell you, though, that whether it's from the Spirit of God in my own heart or He sent somebody else to do it, that's why not a lot of people wanted to be prophets, right? Because you had to go tell everybody they were messing up, and it's like, they're not going to like me very much. No prophet was particularly liked at all. Nobody likes being the bearer of bad news. It's like, oh, I got to go tell these people they done messed up. Sometimes we can judge our own meekness by looking at how I respond to when other people tell me I done messed up. Am I really meek? Let someone come at me and see how that works. A lot of times my own perceptions of my meekness are shattered. And I realize in that moment of getting cut off on the freeway, even yesterday I took a drive down to Folsom and I didn't swear, but I was upset. I tell you, I'm like, gosh, get on your own side. 2 seconds later, the next car, it's like, man, is the enemy trying to kill me today? Aubrey's like, you need to calm down. Got a car full of kids and I'm yelling at imaginary people, you know, that can't hear me. And I don't know what they were doing. All I know is, like, I'm just trying to keep my family alive on the trove and people are in the middle of the road. You all know what that's like. But in the moment, we look at it and say, okay, I'm justified in my anger. Maybe so. How do I handle that? How I handle that is another matter. But jumping ahead as we finish, last point, mirrored meekness produces lasting fruit. How many of you all know that this as it is here isn't plan B, right? When God started this, He had a plan. We're still on plan A. God didn't go, ooh, I didn't see that coming. What does it say? Before the foundations of the earth were laid, Christ was slain, and His children were chosen in Him. Guys, God knows. It's like Hebrews talks about life running a race, right? God's the one who starts the race. He's the one running with you, giving you water and help and encouragement. And He's at the same time, at the end of the race, encouraging you on. Guys, we need a God who is Alpha and Omega, beginning and end, who starts it, who finishes it, and who's with us in the middle. I don't want to serve a God who doesn't have my back at the beginning, who doesn't is not with me now, and I'm just waiting for the future. Because when we read this, right, and we think, okay, God, You've got my back. You say that blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. I think of an inheritance as I'm waiting for somebody to die, right? Man, how many times have we waited? This is going to sound horrible. Maybe it's you. Maybe you know somebody. Have you ever just kind of stopped and thought about somebody and thought, hey, when they die, I get blank. And you were happy? Don't raise your hands, but I will. That was dark. I've had some of those thoughts going, oh, well, that would be nice. And it's like, why do I even want to think of a nice thought when somebody passes? Kind of like that. It feels weird, right? I don't think that's okay, Dennis. It's like, I'm ashamed of you, son. Don't do that. That's bad. Sometimes we look at those things as an inheritance, but the great thing about it is right now, who does everything belong to now? God. You guys know the parable of the prodigal son, right? What did he say to the good son who was upset that he didn't get to benefit from the Father's good product. He says, son, don't you know that you are my son and everything I have is yours? He says, don't you get it? This is all yours anyways. Sometimes it's like Book of James says, you have not because you ask not. Sometimes we don't have because we just ain't asking God for it. Why? Sometimes it's because of our lack of meekness. I can do it in my strength, God. I'll get it this way. God didn't say you wouldn't have to work for it sometimes. Amen. It's not about being lazy. God, I'm not going to do anything. You just bring it all to me. No. Uh-uh. No, God says, I'm going to put you to work, son. Even in fact, when he's trying to correct us on it, he says, you have been saved, right, by grace, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift from God. He says, wow, you're saved. Hey, guess what? I did that. That was me. And he says, guess what? If you think in your works, he goes, no. He said in the next statement, he said, so that you can carry out the good works that I made in advance for you to do. I don't do anything that earns my salvation. It was a gift of God and grace. And the good works I get to do. How many of us all don't? Sometimes there's some good works we don't want to get done. They're like, oh God, thank you for giving me this opportunity to grow and mature and go through all this stuff. It hurts. But by His grace, we're still on plan A. He hasn't switched to plan B yet. He says, I knew this was coming. I'm the beginning and the end. I knew that you would fall and I knew you'd need me. And you know what? What do you need? Ask me. I will take care of you. And that's the rub. In a broken world, in a world like that limping minivan trying to get home, what do? We're still in a broken minivan, folks. Anybody else know the world around us is coming apart? People getting crazier. People watching this are thinking, yeah, it's you. People getting crazier. Things are getting pulled out. I think it's the more that Satan is allowed to wreak havoc on the world, the more we as God's children mature and are set apart, sanctified, made holy, and drawing nearer to God. Because I don't know about you, but when I start seeing the goalposts widen and stuff and I see how bad it is, I want to go over where God is, right? Let's draw near to Him, right? Like James 4:8 says, and He will draw near to you. Said, I want to be near God, and it seems like He's calling us to stand firm, to not go the way of the world, not to give up on the Word of God that He has given us and what it says, but I'm to love it, to walk in it, to be in it more so that I might understand and be discerning because the days are evil. And they were evil 2,000 years ago, and they're still crazy evil now. And so He says, be discerning, be wise as serpents, innocent as doves. We need to know what's happening in the world and be prepared for it. I don't know about y'all, but I don't know everything going on in the world. I can watch all the news I want. I don't know what that is, how much of that is true, and that's just what they decided to show me. I got no idea what's happening. The only thing I really do know is that God has not stepped aside from His throne. He has not abdicated His throne. He got off at once to come and die for us, and that was it. The rest of it, He says, I am here. And I am ruling and reigning still. Crazy stuff going to happen, folks, in this world. But I got to trust in God. That's being meek. It's trusting in His strength, His provision for Him, for my needs. And some of that might come through me. A lot of it, though, has just got to come through Him. And really, that's the realization. It's all from Him. Every ounce of strength I have, the breath in my body, the strength in my blood. Man, the coffee this morning came from Jesus, as far as I know. I'm trusting Him for that. When you guys bless me with encouraging words, I'll tell you. I'm not going to call them out, but they know who they are. Somebody came up to me and says, God told me you needed this morning. Handed me a card that just said, you don't know how much you're loved. And I tell you, I needed that this morning. That was an encouragement. I was on the phone call with somebody today in tears. They were brokenhearted over something they thought I had said about them. You know, and it was sad because I don't want to hurt anybody like that. So we talked, we're okay, but I tell you, just coming off those emotional things, you know, and I'm just like, oh, man. And then here comes that nice little person, almost said their name, and just said, God said you needed this now. And I'm like, looked at it, read the card, and I'm like, yes, I do. Thank you very much. Because the same God who talked to my son through me and through other people is the same God who brings me wonderful servants like you guys to remind me that He is so strong that I can be meek. Because my God is always looking out for me. Not weak, but I can be meek. I don't need to exert all of my power and my authority and my X, Y, and Z every time, but be discerning and when I need to, because my God, He's the one who's going to tell me, okay, you let loose, hold back. Because sometimes when I try to let loose, I can hurt people, like what happened. Maybe I came on too strong, I don't know. But He and I were okay right now. We're going to meet up and we're going to do some things, but it's just sad. I think sometimes, again, when I don't walk in meekness, I can hurt people. I probably hurt half of you. Maybe the other half too. But anyways, you guys all get it. The fruits that God provides for the world are not just eternal. They're not just for tomorrow, that He has stuff for us today. May not always be what we want in the moment, but He has exactly what we need in the moment. And He promised that. Today, God will provide for His children. He is not an absent Father. We need to ask, we need to seek Him, we need to trust Him. Faith is the victory, like the song says. Everything I have in Jesus Christ, I have because of His goodness and not my own. And I got to walk every day learning what it means to be meek like He is. And that's our hope. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank You so much for allowing me to be here, to be a pastor, to have a chance to talk to people and share Your Word. I hope, Father, that through this, that people would pick up their Word today. They would pick up the Bible and they would begin to read and see how Your Holy Spirit can minister to them, that You have a plan for each and every individual. Father God, I pray for Your church to draw closer and closer to You, even if it means being considered an enemy of the world. I pray that the evil that is said about us as Christians not be true. As You said in the Beatitudes, blessed are You when people falsely say all kinds of evil against You because of Me. Father God, I pray and ask You to please help it, that if anybody has something to say about Me, would You please make it false? And that means that I am responsible for my lack of meekness and trusting You to take care of my situations, for my stepping out and doing my will as opposed to Yours, which is sin. When I lack the meekness to give You deference, help me to live like Jesus, who was so humble and kind and gracious to wash the feet of his apostles, to cleanse my sin, to live a life and die for me. To die for all those who would receive Him. Help us to have that kind of meekness. And we recognize we can only find it in You, and we need You to empower us to do it. Forgive us when we're not. When we lean on our own strength, when we lean on ourselves and we think we're doing it on our own, remind us, please, that we serve a loving God who is helping us with everything. You are sovereign in all areas, and we trust You. Your plan A is good. We don't need a plan B. And we look forward to creation 2.0 when we get the new bodies to match the new spirits You've given us, made us alive completely. And when the heavens and the earth are remade and sin no longer pollutes existence, when we can truly praise You, Father God, in an unpolluted way. We look forward to that. Until that day, keep us meek and humble, gentle, courteous, withholding power and only using it in a godly way that You deem appropriate. Help us have that discernment on when to exercise the power You give us, and never to have the attitude that we have it and we got it, but that we move like Jesus did, always dependent on the will of the Father. Show us, teach us, help us, forgive us. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.